Okay, so for you, Yair.
Fine.
Yay! Okay. Okay, so the last few months, we've dealt with the questions in Psak from, questions in Psak from the vantage point of people who are not poskim. Can you poskim for yourself? Does that have the status of Psak? Are you too biased to poskim for yourself? What are the qualifications? Even if you're not poskiming for yourself, so how do you pick an authority? Why is his authority binding? Under what circumstances? Can you have different authorities? Mar d'asra, bizman hazeh, classical mar d'asra, etc. So now we're moving to a topic that is very different. It does touch very centrally on the question of the role of, shall we say, the laity in Psak, which is a question of Chumrah. Right? Chumrah, unlike everything we've been talking about, is right, the acceptance of something upon yourself which is not obligatory, which means that we're dealing totally within the realm of your autonomy, right? Assuming that you are allowed to or encouraged to or whatever, except a chumrah, that's not something that can be dictated authoritatively by anybody but yourself. So the existence of the category of chumrah then already indicates that there is at least one area of halacha that's really left open to the individual, no matter how much we think that classic halachic adjudication is left in the hands of poskim. So we've touched on some of the issues in the past. One of the central topics in Chumrah, which we won't deal with extensively because we dealt with it last year as a separate topic, was Yuara. How do we translate it? Religious presumptuousness, I think. And the parameters of it and why it's a problem, right? That talks about limitations in Chumrah. We also talked a little bit about the potential role of Chumrah in uniting a community, right? By explicitly speaking about halachic positions in terms of Kula and Chumrah as opposed to Asar and Mutter within the Tshuvas of Rav Moshe and Rav Moshe's unique contribution on that level. Now, what I want to do today is really tackle the topic itself, though. So it's a huge topic. So what we're basically going to do is we're going to try to balance. There are basically two phrases that come up throughout Shas, or Poskim, not necessarily Bavli, that highlight the two opposing tensions within Chumrah, and we're going to try to figure out when each of them apply, and toch kedei that we'll see different perspectives on when Chumrah is a good thing, what types of Chumrah are good things, v'chadome. So the first is a phrase that we'll see in a moment in the Yerushalmi that comes up several times, which is kol ha'patar min ha'davar ve'oseyu nikra hedyot. Anyone who's exempt from something and he does it is called a hedyot, which is a simpleton, an idiot. And the other is the one which you're probably more familiar with, which is prevalent throughout postgame, which is kol machmir arizim meshubach, and things like that, right? So sometimes it's clear that Chumrah is a good thing, and sometimes it's a terrible thing. So what I want to do is, if my count was correct, go through sure, take mine. The other one. 13 positions on when you distinguish between these. Until today, we'll get a picture of when people, don't worry, they break them into categories, not actually 13, of when Chumrah is a good thing, what type of Chumrah, v'chadoma. Okay, so that introduction, let's start. So this is a Gemara we saw last year, we did Yura, but this is the Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi says, Chassan, imrotu likros ishma balayla rishon kore. Right? Chassan, a bridegroom, is not obligated to say Kriya Shema on the night of his wedding, but the Tanakhama says that if he wants to, he's allowed to. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omar lo kol arotza litol lo es Hashem yitol. Not everyone who wants to take the name of God is allowed to. So the Yerushalmi says, Tani, kol davar shu shel tsa'ar kol arotza lasus atzmo yachid oseh. Anything which involves pain, you're allowed to make yourself into a yachid. You're allowed to, right? And this is hinting to the Gemara in Tainus, where this is most explicit, where at different points in the rain fast cycle, right, the latest part of the fast, the general populace has to fast, but earlier on, the quote-unquote yachidim have to fast. So this sheet, and we saw this already last year, holds that if by taking on a chumrah, right, you are causing yourself pain, so that is always permitted, right? That's not a problem of yuara. Therefore, you would be allowed to fast in the earlier parts of the fast cycle, even if you yourself were not actually a Talmud Chacham. Then Yerushalmi continues, Talmud Chacham osev et tavalav bracha, Talmud Chacham should do it, and then he'll be blessed for it, v'chol davar shu shel shevach, but if it's not painful, it's pleasurable, it gets you honor, v'chadome lo kol arotze lazaz atzmo yachid, osev, not everyone who wants to can, but Talmud Chacham osev elim kain, minu osev parnas ala tzibur. Talmud Chacham can, unless he's a parnas ala tzibur. Fine, tani, mistalkan l'tani, you say yesedos, what? A parna, a leader. We're not going to get into all the details of that. Then the Gemara has a whole discussion about this. Right, so then, just skip down like three lines, I guess. I don't want to get to every detail here in terms of the fasts. But Amr Leva Tani called Ocho Tzar called Rotz Elazan Azo Yachad Otsa Tam Chacham Otsa V'Tavol Bracha. Right, the Yerushalmi had suggested a case in which you would limit the ability of someone to be machmir, even when there's tsar, but didn't we say that there's no such limitations? So Amar Rabbi Zeira, v'chod lo yivzon choranan. That's true as long as you don't embarrass or degrade others. So the Gemara says, but Dilma Rabbi Yosef Yishmo Bar Rabbi Yitzchak Abba Yosef Nachman Bechada Min Hilein Kinishta Elise Asas Unze the Tzlusa V'kam Rabbi Yishmo Rabbi Yitzchak Mitzluya. So they were eating, and then it came to davening, the time to daven, and he got up to daven. Anamarle Rav Meisha Lokein Alfin Rebbe Mitzchila Mavsikin. Isn't the halacha that if you started eating, you don't have to, you shouldn't stop as soon as the zman comes to daven, right? As long as you have time left to daven, you shouldn't, or don't have to, and now he's saying you shouldn't stop daven, stop eating early to daven. V'tani Chizkia, now this is the important line, he said, how could you stop early if you don't have to? V'tani Chizkia, kol mishu patar mi davar v'oseyu nikra hedyot. Anyone who's exempt from something and does it is called a hedyot, called a fool. So Amar Lei, I vat taninan chasan patar chasan imrot. Right, then he summarizes our Mishnah, that even though a chasan doesn't have to say Kriya Shema, he's allowed to. Amar Lei v'lo Rabbi Gamliel. He said, what about Rabbi Gamliel? Shita says you can. Amar Lei yachal ana patar Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel reini shemei lechem levadam eni malchus shemayim. He said, well, Rabbi Gamliel disagreed. Okay. So in this context of doing something which you're not chayev to, the Gemara assumes that at least according to one shita of Yerushalmi, you are not allowed to, under certain circumstances, be machmir. Right? Call ha'patrim and ha'davar ve'oseyu nikra hedyot. Now this is nifslek lahalacha, right? Let's just take the case of Yerushalmi self-quoted, which was that you don't have to stop for mincha. So look at Shulchan Aruch. Lo yishev ada leistaper samach mincha. You shouldn't start having a haircut next to mincha. Achi spal until you daven. Leichem the merchas of levorsiki. You shouldn't start showering. Go to a bathhouse or go to a tannery. Velo ladin. Nor start a court gate. Velo lechol or start to eat. Afil sudik stana samach mincha gedola v'im hischo ba'achem kolelu. But if you did start, ain't no mafzik. You don't stop. Avol pisha hischel be'isr. Even though you started and it wasn't allowed. Who sheishus beyom lispalel achar shigmar sudasa omalachdo aval im angels lispal achar sarachlavskin. Yeah, that's only if you will have time to daven. If you won't have time to daven, then you have to stop. And the Magen Avram here says it's not just that you don't have to stop; you can't because he says afil achar mincha gdolim mafsikin afil kshegiyas man mincha ktana v'emeschilu samoch mincha ktana mafsikin afil yeshahos. And he says, why? Because kol hapatar umasik nikra hedyot. Because anyone who stops when you don't have to is called a fool. So you see already there this line the Yerushalmi just gave you one example is quoted lahalach. Under certain circumstances, kol hapatar minadavar ve'oseyu nikra hedyot. But, like I said, as many times as you'll find poskim quoting kol hapatar minadavar nikra, I will say nikra hedyot, you'll almost equally find people saying that under certain circumstances it's called machmer tavelo bracha. To give you an example of how difficult this tension is, look at the next two sources. This is a contradiction, or a tension, shall we say, between two sifim in Shulchan Aruch in the exact same simen. Right, so this is in Simen Tov for Shlomo Tzed with regards to Sukkah. So, first, Shulchan Aruch says, I think this is Sif Gimel, I got cut off. You're allowed to drink water or eat fruit out of a sukkah, and someone who's machmer and doesn't is praiseworthy. Several sifim later in the same simon, he says, but if you're sleeping in the sukkah and it starts raining, you don't even have to bother figuring out, is it raining enough to destroy your food, which is the normal amount of rain that it would need to exempt you from sukkah. There's even a little bit of rain is a pain to sleep in, so you're allowed to leave. And anyone who's exempt from a sukkah and doesn't leave gets no reward and is rather a fool. Right? So right here in the same simon, we have Shulchan Aruch saying both. And if you are makbid to only have water and fruit in the sukkah, that's a good thing. If you stay in the sukkah when it's raining, that's a bad thing. So what's the difference, right? It's clear, right, that there are certain types of chumras that are good to keep, there are certain that are not. So what is the difference between these chumras? So, you tell me. Let's start suggesting answers. And, right, we could have started this year by, like, trying to posit in sort of a vacuum, why would chumrah be a good thing, and we'll see some makaros. But I hang on to this again. I think the most effective way of figuring out why one would choose a chumrah is to analyze when poskim think there's good chumras and when they're bad. So we'll just see them, and then we'll extrapolate from there. You want to start?
I think maybe there's something quantitatively more. Perhaps you can still really enjoy the. Perhaps there's something. There's a big difference between eating inside the sukkah as opposed to outside the sukkah. It's better qualitatively than not sleeping in the sukkah. The difference between
okay.
the two options is also
and what about when the rain comes?
Then I don't know. I'm still thinking.
Yair, Chaim, Reuven.
When there's a point to doing it, it's good, and when it's you're just doing it for no reason.
So clarify, right? When there's a point, meaning what? Why is there a point? Why is there a point to eating the sukkah when it rains and not when it's water or fruit and not when it rains?
So when it rains, there's no longer a kiyum in sukkah at all. But when you're eating during chazara, you're allowed to go outside the sukkah, but it's still better in terms of...
Good, so that's one possibility, right? It's to say, eating outside the sukkah, eating water, it's not that... Right? It's still a sukkah, it's still sukkahs. I just happen to be exempt, right? There's a ptur, right? But when it's raining, maybe it's... Right, the lumdish way of saying it is it's not a sukkah at all, or it's lav zman sukkah or something. Right, which is in fact how the Mordechai does say it. Right, that it's not a sukkah, or it's not lav zman sukkah. Right, so in one case you're just putter, but there's still a value. Right, the other one, right, there's nothing at all. Right, but what would that tell you? Right, if you understand that way, and we'll see that some people do. Right, that would say that a chumrah is valuable if
it's valuable.
Right, meaning if, in other words,
if it's a chumrah.
Right, meaning it's. Right, meaning that one's just saying if what you're doing is meaningless, it's meaningless. If it's not meaningless, it's not meaningless. Right? Or in other words, why would it not be meaningless? Because, right, it's still a ma'aseh mitzvah, you just happen to be exempt. Right? So then it's memela meaningful if you do it. Chaim.
If it will lead to, like, the mitzvah becoming more important to your eyes versus being, like, bizoy mitzvah perhaps?
Okay, so that's a slightly different perspective. We'll see something like that, which is to say, it's good if it, right, a chumrah is good if it expresses some positive value, and a chumrah is bad if by being quote unquote machmir, you're actually, right, violating some value, right, which we'll get to. That's going to be one of the dayos in the Mishnah Berurah. We'll see that in a moment. Reuven? Okay, so just in the Be'er Halacha here, you'll see he suggests two possibilities. Which are similar to two that you suggested. So look at the first one. I mean, they're both just consecutive here. Chalapater min asukah. Zeh klal hu dafka b'makom sheish butzat iser. Kamo b'mitztayr. Devechil yom tov. Vafil b'chol shemoyin chayiv l'chabdo. This is like chayim. Right? That he said, bad chumras are ones that come with a cost. So he said, you're chayiv, you have a mitzvah on sukkahs to enjoy sukkahs. So, if you eat or sleep in the sukkah when it's raining, you're going to not enjoy sukkahs. So, being machmir in sukkah is being mekil and kavod yantiv, then it's asur. Aval einu mitztayer, rashai lahachmir. Kmorim galachich ra'atzo, but delay shamayim, amaralam lasukkah. But if it doesn't cause you any pain, so you can be machmir. Right? So, that's one possibility, like chayim. Right? Good chumras are ones that don't have a cost. Bad chumras are ones that have a cost. Now, the second answer is like what Yair said, which is Ayin Mishnah Berurah causes the savior Bikurei Yaakov. Nearly the Madarino Sheino Ela Maaseh Had Yotos Veino Kabel Schar Zedavka Kishepater BeEisa Yeshiva Kegon Shemitzdar VeChadome. Brad Bikshamim came and Shem Kishvichas Kos Alpanav Shirabo Herelo Sheino Rotsa Bavo Dazav Who Rotsa Lachov Rabo Laavdo Sheein Zederek Eretz. Right. You shouldn't sleep. You shouldn't go into the sukkah when, right, and it's a bad thing when you're totally putter, right? And then he says, even kal v'chomer, where we say that if it rains during sukkahs, God is throwing your avodah in your face, and you're trying to say, "Look, I know you don't want me to serve you, but I'm going to do it anyways." Right? That's not derech eretz, right? Avo misha putter mishum. Tircha, right, the second half of the answer is more chayim. But the first half, basically, right, it's just there's no reason to be there. It's like, Yair, aval misha patur mishum tircha. But if you just have a technical exemption because it's too hard, lachsa l'sukkah. For example, kagon shepas k'ksham b'layla, o be'em su'daso, b'holech l'sukkahs chavero, but if you just have a technical p'tur, like, right, if it's raining and then it stops raining in the middle of the night, we say that you're allowed to, you don't have to go back to the sukkah. But if you do, obviously you can, right? It's now the sukkah's dry, it's a totally fine sukkah experience. We just happen to exempt you, and it's like the water case, right? Where you don't have to drink there, but if you do, it's great. After karoi, and here too, right? If you do sit in the sukkah, you're fulfilling the mitzvah. You just didn't have to go there. Right? So his second answer is, if you just have a technical exemption, but if you were to do the mitzvah, it would be a mitzvah. So then it's a good chumrah because it's inherently valuable. If, right, the circumstances, an exempt, right, it's a total hafka, right, it's raining, now it's not a good time to be at sukkah, you're not making the mitzvah at all, then it's not worth it. So we've seen, right, some version of Chaim's answer and some version of Yair. You'll see that a lot of the answers, I said there are 13, not really, they fall into these basic answers, right? A lot of them fall into these basic answers with different nuances.
I don't know if it's just a technical exemption or like a total
exemption. So we'll come to that, right? That's what we're going to do. We're going to flesh out what types of cases there are, and you'll see different cases, okay? The most quoted source that I saw who makes this distinction in overly lumjish terms, in really lumjish terms, is the Gra. So he says,
lumbish?
What?
The Gra uses lumjish terms?
Look at this. It sounds like a brisker, I'm telling you. V'inei ha-gemara eino muvan klal. Kilama yafs... What? Next source. No, sorry, yeah. Sorry, two sources down.
The shoe, the
Shanai? Oh. No, what? Where are you? Okay, I'll read. Sorry, first the Gemara that he's based on, then we'll get to the Shnos Eliyahu. It's the PDF that's back in the middle of the page, right? So just the Gemara, right? The Gemara says, right, that this is the Gemara that says that Beis Hillel says, how do you say Kriya Shema?
Any way you want.
Any way you want. Beis Shammai says, lying down. And then Rabbi Tarfon said, Ani Yisi Babadach V'Tesh Lekros Kedivre Beis Shammai V'Si Kanti Batrim Bnei Alistim. I once went out of my way and I lied down to say Kriya Shema like Bishamai, and I put myself in danger because of thieves. And Amar Lo Kedaya Yisa Lachov Ba'atzmacha Shavar Ta'al Divrei Beis Hillel. So Gemara says it was worth you putting yourself in danger, meaning not worth it, meaning you deserved to be put in danger because you violated Beis Hillel. So the Gemara asked the obvious question, what do you mean you violated Beis Hillel? Right? Beis Hillel didn't say you're not allowed to lie down, he just said,
You don't have to.
So what do you mean avartal divrei Beis Hillel? What is that avartal divrei Beis Hillel? Right? You didn't. Right? V'hinei agmari n'muvon klal kilama yafsin akreish ma'bad zeh. V'nira shebevadai akreish ma'ino mafsit. He says, you don't learn akreish ma'acham or I'm pligim ozim mitzvah milchark bazeh shi'itim ma'. They're arguing, right? He's saying you didn't lose akreish ma', but they're arguing, is it a good thing? Sometimes we say, if you do something you're exempt from, you're a fool. Right, so he said, the difference is it a quote-unquote mitzvah be'etzem or not a mitzvah be'etzem? Right? The wonderful thing about Lamdish terminology is it's totally vague. But basically what he's saying is what? Right? Similar to or the Ber Halacha, right? Yair's version of the Ber Halacha, the second Ber Halacha, which is, right? Good chumros are ones where what you're doing is a mitzvah, you just happen to be exempt. Bad chumros are where you're doing something which is meaningless. Right, so again, we still basically have two general approaches. Right? And you're right, Chaim, we haven't yet filled in the details, but the two general approaches are either a chumrah is good as long as it's a kiyum mitzvah, right, that you happen to be exempt from, and bad if it's meaningless, or even if it's meaningless, it could be fine, it's only bad if it comes with a halachic cost. Right? Yair, Chaim, good. Fine. Now, what would it mean for something to be a mitzvah be'etzem? Right? What types of things are obviously mitzvos be'etzem? Right? Are obviously good chumras? Right? So what's the most obvious good chumrah? Right? We talked about this a few months ago. Right? The most obvious good chumrah is what? Right? What's the most obvious thing that's a mitzvah be'etzem? Come on.
A lot of things.
No, the most obvious type of mitzvah. What, or?
Something alteration.
So we saw this already, which is something which is a mitzvah which you have a personal patur from. Right? It's mamish a mitzvah be'etzem. It's literally a mitzvah. The classic example being, come on, the classic example is? Thank you. Mitzvah, women being mekayim mitzvahs asesha is my grandma. Right? It is a mitzvah. Les man the public, it is a mitzvah. Hold that. Hold that. Right?
Someone's itching to quote
Rabbi Vadya. No, Rabbi Vadya says you can. They just say you can't make brachos. But nobody says that a woman cannot be notel lulav and esrog. It is a mitzvah. Right? No one says that she can't hear shofar. It is a mitzvah. She happens to be exempt. Right?
But she can't wear tefillah.
Yes. Fine. And the Ramban says what I just said, and right, we quoted this when we did our Shira Nachas Ruach. The Ramban says, "Rei mikom ba'akom Rabbi Natan Zal toke atzmam davar zeh lomar kaven der Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Shimon Sarvi Nashim som chol tushos mashma that wow it's so hot in here right now. The mashma the hilchos akavasayu emratzu mevarchos hein v'kasha how could women do mitzvahs as eshon adam gramavam binan birushalmi kol oser davar sheino mitzvah bo nikra hedyo." Hasam chose a davar she'eno mitzvah min ha'Torah klal. Shukim osif al ha'Torah. It's only a problem if what you're doing is not a mitzvah. And therefore, or this is another formulation of the negative cost, right? This is actually a mix of Chaim and Yair, right? He's saying, it's only a problem to a chumrah if it has a cost. But anything which is not a mitzvah has a cost because it looks like you're eating mosif on the Torah, right? So it's a combination here of Yair and Chaim, right? But that's not true of women with mitzvah zeh and grama because... But if you do something which is obviously a mitzvah properly, right? Even though you're not obligated, you could go nashim. If you do the mitzvahs, it's valuable because the Torah is valuable, right? And if you remember, at the time I quoted the Shulchan Aruch as well. He goes a little bit farther. Right? He says, "Al nashim shemavarchem marachos ala lulav, v'amnishem mavarchem al tkiyah shofar miyesha ve'erbedaber ve'yeve bracha levatala arshein mitzuvos ve'lavra." He was asked, "Can you make a bracha?" And he says, "Ve'yishivu v'chiach sher dori kol asher tomari lecha sarah shma b'kola v'lecha emor lahem shuvu lachem lo aleichem." I mentioned this at the time that apparently Rabbi Yaakov of Marvesh's Malach was very poetic, right? Uvarcho is Hashem Elokeichem. V'ha'ed Megillah v'Chanukah. He said, go make a bracha. It's fine, right? Okay, we won't get all the references here. Uperishuli ma'amatzinu Megillah v'Chanukah me'achar shahayu bozo anes chayavos b'hem v'varchos alayim. He said, look, Chanukah and Megillah, they're not, our mitzvah is Ezra and Grama, and women are actually chayav. Uvelulav nami matzinu smach l'davar she'in lo elo leiv echad lavi v'shem ha'shamayim. And lulav, there's a reason to mimikayim it, right? It points your heart to heaven. And shofar has a right is a kiyum in tefillah. They also want they want to be mentioned in front of God for good. Right, he says, look. It's not, they're just a technical exemption. It's not just that it's a mitzvah, but they even have a fundamental connection to these mitzvahs in particular. Right? So they're both going in the same direction. Something which is a mitzvah be'etzem. Right? Either because everyone else is chayav, or even more than that. You actually are totally, it's a great thing you do the mitzvah for whatever reason. You have a p'tur. There, no one's going to say that you shouldn't do it. Unless, right, there's a cost. Right? And, right, that's basically the argument behind tefillin, right? Tefillin might be exception, tzitzit might be exception, right? Even if it is a mitzvah, there's a cost. I don't want to get into that one right now. We talked about it enough last year. People in the world talked about it way too much last year. And since no one else has talked about it in 6 months, why should we talk about it? I don't ever want to hear about it again. Ever. That was a nightmare. I kid you not, there's an organization that started in America of like young leaders who are trying to get together and try to have dialogue. And as an example of how things affect the world, I saw their official email that was sent out was, girls put on tefillin in SAR turns into shiurim in Yeshivat Har Etzion. Thank you. Okay. So now, let's find just one more formulation of this general idea. It is so hot in this room. What happened? Can we turn it off? What? Whatever, leave it. Okay, so the Birkei Yosef being... Who is he? Now I'm forgetting. No, it's Ben Yishchai. The Chidah's parish in Shulchan Aruch is the Machzik Bracha. Birkei Yosef is it Ben Yishchai. So he says, "V'ef Shalom Al Yashiv Das Marshal." Right, when do you say kalapatamindavar? It's called hedyot. Right, so now he has a problem. According to this shita, right, that any time something is a mitzvah, you just happen to be patur, that you should do it. So the classic case in the Gemara is problematic. Why? Right, you should have asked this. Right, it's a problem. Why? Because the two classic cases in the Gemara where we say kol patur ben davar v'osev nikra hedyot is a chasan by kriyat shema and stopping for mincha.
Yeah.
Are other people chayav in kriyat shema? Yes. Are you chayiv in mincha? Just not yet.
Yes.
So shouldn't this be a classic case of right? Hamachmer tavolav bracha. Right? Isn't that exactly the case? Isn't that the example? Right? Me'ein dugma de nashim turos v'gavre mechayvei v'tzarach lo marke lechidu ban yusim b'shari sham. So he says it must be the after kulei alma chayavim b'kriyashem of b'tfila. We call Markum Kavan the Hani Gavri Bene Chiyuvaninu. Ella de Ichubu Milza Vinifter Lifi Sha'a Korania Leim Hedyotos. The Chol Bar Chiyuvan Nami im Koramikreu Bazeu Bazet Patir Vatir. Right, so he, right, right, takes a different perspective. He said, no. He thinks that even potentially, right, right, this case is worse. Because look, if it's a mitzvah, you personally, like as a group, right, you women as a group are putter. So there you could say, look, there's no reason in this circumstance for you not to take a lulav. It's just that women happen not to be chayiv. But it's inherently valuable. That's different at some level than the case where you're actually more involved in the mitzvah. What are we trying to... We're trying to figure this out. Okay. Right. By the mincha case, you God knows that you have to daven mincha. Or the Rabbana know you have to daven mincha. Right? And they're telling you, don't stop. Right? They actually told you. They went out of your way. They were their way and said, you, even though you would be chayiv, even though you're barach yuva, you are putter. There's a reason why you are putter right now. Right? So then, since anybody in your situation would be putter, then it's nikra hedyo.
But can't you say the exact same thing for women? That a woman got
he's trying very hard here. He's saying, lulav, look, it's not like there's any good reason why I shouldn't do the mitzvah. It's just like I happen not to be chayev, right? As opposed to I really am chayev, and you know God or the Rabbanu went out of the way to tell me don't do it right now. There, if I don't take advantage of it, right, I'm throwing the ptur on their face. I have no idea. So this is a little bit harder, right? I mean, the Ramban's position is very smooth, right? If it's a mitzvah, so then it can't possibly be nikra hedyot. It's just when something ceases to be a mitzvah, then it's hedyot. The problem is that the classic case in the Gemara are not like that. So the Birkei Yosef tries to maintain the Ramban shita, right? But he says, look, if I have a ptur, so then, I don't know, right? I'm throwing the ptur back, right? Or there's a reason that you don't have to do it and you're denying that reason.
If you'd ever be chayiv, I feel like it's a difference.
No, he's saying if you're never chayiv, so you can do it.
No, it's okay, but if you're ever chayiv...
Right, meaning he's saying if you're ever chayiv, then the fact that you are putter means you're putter. But the problem is that, does that really work all the time?
When would it work? Sukkah maybe?
Yeah, right. It goes against the way we understood the Shulchan Aruch by Sukkah, right? The Sukkah, that was exactly the example, right? You don't have to, you know, go back into the Sukkah in the middle of the night, right? If it stopped raining because you already had a ptur, but if you do, it's a good thing, right? Or Shulchan Aruch's case, right? You don't have to go in for water, right? You are a person who's chayv in Sukkah, but you don't have to go have water in the sukkah, but if you do, arei zeh meshubach. Right? So you're going to have to say something like for the Birkei Yosef that it's still going to depend, right? There's going to be three different categories so far, right? If you're never chayiv in a mitzvah, but it is a mitzvah, that's a good chumrah. If you just have a technical exemption, right? Like the water case. Right, you're not eating something which is chashuv, but if I sat in the sukkah, it would be a mitzvah. Right? It's just like it's a very technical ptur. So then it's harizim meshubach. But if like it's a real tircha that you know Chazal go out of their way to tell you there's no reason for you to do it would be denying the kula. I don't know. It's hard to pin your finger on what he's saying, right? Because he really seems to be denying. Right, what we know is true in Shulchan Aruch, right? So I'm not exactly sure how to formulate his. He clearly goes what? Right, it's not clear, right? He seems to be saying something like, when there's a reason for you to be putter, if you don't take advantage of the ptur, so then it's hedyot. But there are clearly cases where that's not true, so you have to distinguish between like fundamental pturim and technical pturim. But he doesn't say it. I'll assume he means something like that, but I can't be sure. Okay, just one last example. I won't read it inside, but the Mishnah Chachma famously says that, right, women are ironically not chayiv in pervu, and he says that the reason is because they are it causes them too much pain, and God wouldn't force you to do something which is painful, but it sounds like for him that if you were to, if women do have children, then they are Mekayim the mitzvah. It was really just a technical patur, which again goes in the same direction as the Ramban, but...
That's a sukkah thing also.
What?
That's the sukkah thing.
Yeah, it's the sukkah thing. It's meaning it's even more explicit than the Ramban, the case of women. But yeah.
But like the sukkah, it's hedger. Like if you sleep in the sukkah and it starts raining, because it's sar, so it's hedger to stay in.
The... maybe. Interesting. Of course, one could distinguish between, right, this is something that is necessary, right? I mean, it is necessary that people, right, you know it's not true by Purvu, because, right, meaning,
yeah,
that could be the answer. I mean, no, I'm saying that could be the answer, is that, right, Rav Moshe, for example, has an argument in Evan Ezra Chelek Aleph Tshuva Samach Gimel, that the reason that the Gemara could argue that you have to, that Shomer Psalm Hashem, and they should, that women should have children even when it's somewhat dangerous. And since Purva is always dangerous, it makes sense to say that even if it's only a little bit more dangerous, right, it would be usher to right, use Mimishemesh Bemoch, right? You guys put this together, Lamentat. Right? Because since Purva is automatically dangerous, right, so you, that tells you that God allows you or even encourages you to enter into this dangerous situation, right? So it may be that it's different, because we know that men are chayv in Purvu and women need to be involved, which means that despite your very nice argument, it's not true, right? So,
okay. Hey, Samson Richards is going far.
What?
Samson Richards is going far.
Thank you, Chaim. Yes, Benji.
It's possible that the guy who wants to sleep in the sukkah with the rain might even convince himself that this chumrah is such a good thing that he'll actually enjoy it.
Yes, and we will get, you know, we can even skip to that.
People never like crazy things.
Yeah, I mean, the Mordechai says something like, I mean, some people just say that by sukkah, it's different because it's, right, the fact that it's raining and it's not a normal way of living, it ceases to be a sukkah. But some people really do say what you just said, which is, right, even by the rain case, if you got to the point where you enjoyed the mitzvah more or something like that, you could do it. It's just like you can't be suffering in the sukkah, right, because then it's counterproductive. There are people who say that. It's not the accepted psak, but it is said. Okay. Quickly, two more shitos that go in the direction of saying that a good chumrah is something that is meaningful, right, is intrinsically meaningful, but not in the way the Ramban did, right, now we'll take a different direction, are the Me'iri and the Pesach Inayim. So the Me'iri, says it straightforward. Right? The only time you say is if there's no value to what you're doing. If there is, then it's fine, right? If it comes at Musr or Seichel or whatever, right? Meaning you just happen to be butter, but doing the Chumrah, whatever the Chumrah might be, has some spiritual value, so then it's valuable. Right? The only type of chumrah that is not valuable is one that is, let's be tautologists here, not valuable. Right? That's basically what he said. Right? The Pesach Einayim goes in that direction also, but he makes another distinction. If I asked you, does Kalapatra Min Adar Vaseyu apply to all mitzvos, or only to, if I had to divide all mitzvahs into two categories, what would I divide them into? Okay, another one. No. Asi Lase would be good.
Ones I don't like.
What?
Ones I like, ones I don't like.
How about Benam Lachavir Benam Lamakom? So the Pesach.
The third no, Benam.
Fine. So the Pesach Einayim just says, it only makes sense to even talk about it in the context of Minim Lamako. Minim Chaviro, right? That would be very odd. Was I Yotze being nice to you today? Good. Right, I'm done. Right, now, I tend to think he's right. Right, and I mean, he says this, right? If you look at that story, he just says, right, if you do, when you're, what we call Chumrah, by Minam L'Chaveiro is what we call L'Fnim Mishur Sadin, which is always a good thing. Now, it happens to me it's not always a good thing. I remember once we had a tish with Rav Mordechai. a favorite question to ask Ramim is, what do you think about chumras? And they always say, every kula is a chumra, every chumra is a kula, because everything has cost, and da-da-da-da. And Rav Mordechai Kedar Kabakodesh said, look, I'll give you an example. Being nice. It's a chumra minam chavero, and it's a kula in Talmud Torah. So, when I was in yeshiva, I wasn't nice to anybody. So I learned a lot. As I got older, I got a little bit nicer, I learned a little less. Rabbi Ryan came to yeshiva, I haven't learned in 15 years. So it's not always true. But in general, yeshiva zemachu. Anyways. It was such a classic Rav Mordechai moment. Okay.
The problem is if someone meets he's not recording and doesn't know Rav Mordechai is, they might miss it.
It was great. It was so wonderful. Similarly, the Be'er Sheva says the same thing. I'll just say it outside. But basically he said, right, the Ramah, this based on the Sefer HaTrumos, says that even though you don't have to do Sirta, right, you don't have to draw the lines or carve the lines, whatever, in all Sifrei Kodesh, right? And some you do, some you don't, right? By Tefillin, for example, you don't have to. We still say that if you do it, it's a good thing. And he says the reason is obvious, because you may not be chayev to draw the lines, but if you do draw the lines, then what's going to happen? Yeah, it's going to be easier to write. It's going to be nicer. So there's a good reason to do it. Similarly, he says we paskin, you're not chayev to pre-light the Hanukkah candles or the Shabbos candles to make it burn better. But if you do, so that's a good thing. Now he also adds, right? I mean, there's just a reason for it. Either it's going to burn better, or to add the flip side, which I forget if it's him or one of the other Acharonim, it'll also prevent you from trying to play with the fire on Shabbos, right? So it prevents you from being over an Isser. Again, the point being that if there's a good reason to do it, so then it's fine. Okay, to summarize what we saw so far, right? We've basically seen two general kivunim, right? They might both, at some level, be true. One kivun is to say, look, a good chumrah is something where keeping the chumrah is valuable. A bad chumrah is one where it's meaningless. What does it mean to be valuable? It has some spiritual venerable, and being nice is always a good thing. It's a mitzvah intrinsically. You just happen to be putter, or it's a mitzvah which you're putter from, but you actually have a direct interest in. Right? The Ramban's formulation, the Shemin HaShemayim formulation. There is sort of the complexity here, which the Berkei Yosef points out, that the classic cases in the Gemara seem to be cases where you are in fact putter, but you in general would be chayev, or other people are chayev. So it seems to break it. So he tries to distinguish. We'll come to a different answer of how to solve his problem in a moment. The second possibility is to say that a good chumrah is any chumrah that doesn't have spiritual costs, not necessarily one that is intrinsically positive, but one that's not negative, and that's what we saw in the first Be'er Halacha.
What does it mean to be a chumrah if there's no benefit? It means doing things.
I don't know what it would mean, right? That's why I said they might not be mutually exclusive.
Like, why not hurting? Would that be like?
You know, or no technical halachic benefit. I mean, Miri already opened the door, right? I assume that something that's totally stupid is not a chumrah at all. Miri opened the door to, you know, anything that has any value. But I agree with you, right? I would tend to think that a chumrah that has no value would be
nothing.
Yes.
What is it?
Yes, I'm with you. Now, let's come back for a moment to the Berkei Yosef's question, okay? How could you answer the Berkei Yosef's question, right? And this is, I sort of held back the answer before, but how can you answer the Berkei Yosef question, right? Why would it be bad to say Kriya Shema when you're a chassan?
You're a Gemara.
Well, what does the Gemara actually say?
You are a,
meaning, yes, you won't have Kavana, but the fact that you're claiming you will have Kavana is you are a, right? So it could be, right, that the reason that sometimes it's a problem, right, I think the real answer to the Berkei Yosef, he doesn't say it, why is it better for a woman to keep a mitzvah zeh shezman grama than it is for me, who's chayev in mincha, to right? To not to stop my meal when I don't have to. Well, for me, who's generally chayav in Kriya Shema, to say at the night of my wedding, right? Why is it worse in that second case than the first case? You would think that it's intrinsically a mitzvah, even more than a mitzvah say Shema and Grama. I'm actually in chayav in Kriya Shema. I'm just technically better. But why is that case worse? So what does the Gemara actually itself say? Because since everybody in my situation, right, go back to Berkei Yosef's law show, anyone in my situation would be pater. What does that mean? If I don't take advantage of the kula, it's not, then what's the real reason why it's a problem? Because
everyone should take advantage.
Well, or I'm claiming I'm better than everybody else, right? It's Yuara, right? Again, we talked last year what exactly Yuara is. Is it simple, plain arrogance? Is it that I'm arrogating to myself a status above other people? Is it that I'm creating discord in the community by making, by, right? It's the discord that it results from my presumptuousness, right? We raised a whole bunch of possibilities, and I want to get into it, but it's clear that, right, at some level, the reason that the Birkei Yosef's type of case is even worse is not on Yair's level, right? Which is it fundamentally a mitzvah or not? But on Chaim's level, is there a cost, right? And when there's a p'tur which I don't take advantage of, often what that means is that there's a cost, right? There's a cost of Yura, right? There's no cost if, look, my sukkah is on my deck, right? Which is attached to my dining room, right? If I'm inside and I could have a cup of water inside or have it on my deck, right? That's not Yura if I go out of my deck, right? I go out of my deck during the spring anyways, right? It's nice weather. It's not like I'm saying, oh, other people who don't go in are worse people. I'm just saying, I want to be in my sukkah.
Has better weather during sukkahs or not?
What?
Machloket if sukkahs has better weather or not?
Yeah, exactly. But on the other hand, right, if I say Kriya Shema at my wedding, now, Bizman is that we all say Kriya Shema at our wedding, because none of us have Kavana, and whatever. I remember at our wedding, it was one of the only times, I think it was the only wedding I've ever been at where Ora and I both left when they had Maariv. So all of our friends just left, because, like, if the Chassan, neither the Chassan or the Kala are in the wedding, you're like, you might as well just, you know. Normally, like, the Chassan, like, dips out, and that's when the Kala's friends, like, you know, get to drive her crazy without the chazan. But that didn't happen at our wedding. But the minhag is that we actually do daven ma'ariv. But that's because none of us have kavanas. It's not you or up. What?
No.
What? Okay. But I think that's probably the real answer. And again, I don't want to get into all the details about you or up. But again, the notion of Yura really fits into what Chaim set up, right? That half the problem in Chumrah is this cost of spiritual presumptuousness, right? Meaning that there's a cost. Okay, just a few sources quickly on, right? Now that we've basically set up, right, that according to many Shitos, the good types of Chumros are ones that are intrinsically meaningful, just to give a few more general sources that point in that direction. The most famous is the Ramban, right? The Ramban says, Va'inyan, right, this is the Ramban by Kedoshim Tiyu, right, which is really the starting point for Chumra at some level, which is, Ha'inyan ki ha-Torah is hira barayot v'machalim asurim, v'tira abia ish b'eshov achil basura yahidim kein, yimsa ba'altav ha-makom liot shatuf b'zimari shton ha-shov harbeh v'lot b'zove yahin v'zolei basur lama'o, right? The fact that the Torah put some limitations but not a lot means that you could take advantage and you could, right, not be committing adultery, but always be sleeping with your wife. You could not be eating treif, but only be a glutton, right? And you'd be v'daber k'tzom v'chalanavol and speaking, right, crude things. And there's no formal issur in the Torah. V'nei yenaval b'shurat Torah. Then you would be a naval b'shurat Torah. Right? It's clear, right? At some level, the reason that we say that a good chumrah is one that's meaningful is because the Torah, at some level, is minimalist. But halacha is minimalist. It's not, right, telling you everything you're supposed to do. It's telling the minimum you're supposed to do. But if it's telling you the minimum you're supposed to do, what does that imply by definition? That there's a higher level. If there's a higher level, then there must be, under certain circumstances, chumrah. But when is there going to be a chumrah if it's valuable? It fits the goals of the Torah that were not explicitly enshrined in law. Right? So everything we've been saying, right, within the context of kol patur min hadavar v'oseyu, pushes in that direction. Right. Similarly, there's an article, which is good, I just put it so that you know that it exists, right, in the first volume of Chakira, by Daniel Goldstein, Rabbi Daniel Goldstein, where he writes Rav Chumrot, and here he quotes the Sefer Reishis Chochma. I just gave you his English translation. Says basically the same thing. So too, with regard to food, the Torah at the end of Parashat Shemini discussed permitted and prohibited foods and said, "And you shall be holy, do not defile your souls." And the Zohar explains that anyone who eats impure food shows that he has no interest in holiness, and therefore it is fitting for a person to be strict on himself in regard to food, and should not have any degree of prohibition at all. For Chezkel, the prophet, praised himself for not eating meat from an animal over which a question was raised, even though a sage ultimately permitted it, since that was raised regarding it, as it says in the third parak of Chulin. And behold, there are many things subject to debate among the experts of Jewish law. This one prohibits and this one permits. Certainly, Chezkel the prophet would not have partaken of such food. For to him, it would be considered an absolutely prohibited food, more severe than meat permitted by a sage. Right? He gives another direction, which is another type of case where there's clear spiritual value, as if not just I'm right going beyond the minhag position, but I'm trying to
be better.
What specific case is he talking about?
Be more kadosh.
Why? Because there's a machlokes. I'm trying not to violate an isser, right? Right. The Ramban is saying I'm trying to do positive. The Reishis Chachma is saying I am trying not to do a negative, so I'm more machmir. The Baragolus is something like this also, so does the Mesilas Yesharim, right? They all go in this direction. We don't really have time to read it, but basically this idea, right, that the Torah is not minimalist, that's the Ramban, Mesilas Yesharim, Baragolus, and also sometimes there's a suffix, so sometimes being machmir, because you realize that, right, you don't just try to find a kula, but sometimes you just really want to keep the Torah, you have to be machmir, yeah.
What if someone a certain shita in the Rishonim is completely rejected?
Okay. Now, however, right? Now, this type of chumrah, the one of Yotze Kaladeos, also comes with a cost. What's the cost, Ruvain? Two possible costs.
If you, it sounds like it's mutter and you and your osei, right? It could be much secure, or else it could be problematic.
Right, either it's Yuara or
nothing.
No, you're about to say something else. Right? Okay. There's two reasons why it could be especially problematic to be Yotze Kolodeos by a rejected Shita. One is Yuara, the other, there's really three problems. But
it could confuse people also.
Right. Meaning one is it confuses people or alternatively casts aspersions on them. Right? Or it's Yuara, right? If it's totally rejected and I do it, right? I'm first of all saying I'm better than them and I'm saying they're wrong. Or I'm trying to convince them to do it right, right? Those are two maybe related, maybe not related.
There's also the process of reading the process.
Right, which I think is all related to that. So if you continue, right, skip the Baragola Mishnah, just to give you an idea of where that, right, just to give you an example of what I just said. So the Gemara says, right, Elu. Right? These are the brachos in Shmoneh Esrei that you bow at. Right? So you know where it is, right? First bracha, modim, etc. So Tosu says, and then the Gemara says, and other brachos you don't bow. So Tosu says, Vim Damar Yivischa Mabakach. Why don't you just bow and there's no problem? Right? So he says, so the first problem he says is, why would it be a problem in this case? Because what would you do? You'd distort the halacha because you'd make people think that is the halacha, right? Ve'ein kan takan chachamim. And the second one is v'chashin liyuara, right? And it's yuara. Now, by the way, the Gra didn't say this, but which case in the Gemara is obviously being driven by this concern? That you're going to distort the halachic system. Right? Which case that we already saw in the Gemara is clearly driven by this? The Kriyishma case, right? What do you mean, Avart al Divrei Beis Hillel? Right? He was just Machmir. No, he went out of his way to be Kayim Beis Shammai. Why was Reb Tarfon wrong? Right? Not because it was a mitzvah be'etzem, but because there was a cost. It would confuse the halachic process. So I think you're right, Reuven. When we're talking on costs, one of them is Yuara, but other ones are you can confuse other people, or you're going to distort the halachic process because you're going to make it seem as if a rejected shita is not rejected. Right? So the Reishis Chachma's argument is not actually that straightforward. The notion that I should be machmer to be Yotze Kolodeos doesn't always work because sometimes it'll actually cause a lot of problems. Look, I gave you here just, you know, Chaim Soloveitchik's piece from Rupture and Reconstruction, where he talks about the psychological need for chumras, but you know, to assert our distinctiveness. But you know, that should be clear. That goes in the URL category. You can read it yourself. Okay. One more thing on URL, then I'll just get a different thing, just because we have to quote it because it's Rav Amital. Let's skip down. Right. This is, sort of sums it up. Biyiddish yesh bitoy frumkeit. You got it. Second, third page. Yeah. There is something called frumkeit. Shmashma kalid hitchushat kvedut veakpada yetera. Hein mechasidut hein betunara muzar yesharu bekach irach chashuv. There are people who thought this was a good thing. The yesh is tagum meod, and there were some who thought it was bad. Kol beslabatka bekotsk. Mamefenim ashliliyim shel hafrumkeit hem derech la. Right. Sometimes the obsession with, being yotzei kol hadeos has another cost, which is, right, it makes you think that what does it mean to be religious? That the ikar part of being religious is not doing bad as opposed to doing good. Debilitates you, it paralyzes you. Right, it prevents you from being creative. So he says, right, part of the problem again being yotzei kol hadeos is it freezes you. I didn't put the other part, which is even more famous from Amital, which is the Yura. What was Rav Amital's way of expressing the problem with Yura? No, it was the Ber Halacha. The Mishnah Berurah always says, Bal Nefesh Yachmar Al Atzmo. When I was in yeshiva, everyone said, the Bal Nefesh is not me. Now everyone thinks, every Bachur in yeshiva thinks I'm the Bal Nefesh. I'm just a Pashtayid. Right? Right? At some level, right, that is sort of the epitome of what the URA concern is. But here he's giving a different one, which is, I also think, very powerful, which is being Yotzei Kol Hadeos, first of all, can mess up the halachic system. It also has a problem of URA, but sometimes it also literally paralyzes you and focuses you on the negative as opposed to the positive. I don't have time to read the next few sources, but I'll summarize what it is. The one which is obvious, one of the problems with Chumras, like I said, is Motzi Laz Al Rishonim. The Gemara in Gittin Daf Hey says this in the context of someone who's Mishana Mimad Beish Tavu Chacham Begittin, right? If you change the way people do it by Gittin. But this is expanded, right? Ramosha, I just gave you two chuvos where he says it by bugs. Right, by bugs and food, where he doesn't think you can be overly machmir because you'll be motzi laz al doros hakadmonim. I gave you another tshuva by Reb Moshe. Now, it's not always true, right? Sometimes it's clear that, right, previous generations didn't do it, and you're doing it just to make it nice, and that's what the Truma Sedeshin has a case of. Right, so you do always have to weigh it, right? But one of the things you have to take in mind when you're having a chumra is your chumra going to be presented as ikar hadin such that it would be motzi la'az on others? Now, the extreme expression of when it would be motzi la'az or when it would destroy the halachic system, we're really running short on time, but I'll say it outside, is, right, there is a minhag which we are actually machmir for, which is to wait 6 hours after hard cheese, right? Just like we wait after meat, Ashkenazim do, based on Maharami Rutenberg. The Marshal really, really didn't like this and said that anyone who does, it leads to Tarkala. And if you look at the Pischei Tshuva, he says, Yatzah Scharo Behefseido, because it's Kamo Arpikarsus. Right? So, right, these posts can clearly say that under certain circumstances, by taking on a chumra which is not ikar hadin, or yotzei kol hadeos, the problem is that you really are motzi laz, and sometimes it shows even more than that. You don't trust the halachic system, right, and that would actually impugn yourself. It would be a form of kfira. Fine. The Minchas Asher here quotes that there's a machlokas between the Prima Gadim and the Shvas Yaakov, whether in fact there is a problem of kolapatrim and davarim veosev nikra hedyot by a machlokas aposkim or not. The Prima Gadim thinks there never is. The Shvus Yaakov thinks there is. But the Minchas Asher, I think, says what's probably correct is that everyone agrees that insofar as it's okay to be machmir, lotzitz kol adeos, that's only by a modern machlokas, right? By a machlokas that's still an open question, right? You can't, right? You can't really say it's a problem of being motzilaz if it's an open question, because then you say, look, I'm not being motzilaz. It's a machlokas poskes manenu, or the poskim of the generation before us. The real problem of motzilaz, v'chadoma, is really when I'm searching for chumros of already rejected shitos, right? So even within the case of lotzitz kol adeos, we could distinguish between them. Okay, we're running really, really short on time. Okay, I gave you a summary here from the... There's a website, olamot.net, where it has a shiur on Kol HaPater Davar Ve'Oseihu, where he summarizes all the shitos. So just to get them out there and have a summary basically of what we did, and then hopefully I'll get to the last few things on it. But here are the 13 that he lists, okay? One is B'kriyat Shema Yeshba Kabbalah Zol Mochel Shamayim Rashay L'Hach Maraz V'Lekro Agam Padir, right? There are some who say, right... Well, this is basically a way of saying if it's valuable, like Kriya Shema, you're allowed to do it. The second is when there's Sa'ar, you're allowed to do it. But as we saw, that's to solve the problem of Yuara, which we saw before, but we're not going to get into Yuara. Three is Hedjo Nikra Ra Kadosa Maitim Mishum Chumra Aval Kasher Kavanaso Lichto of Yosher B'Yosher. So then it's Mutter, right? If there's a reason to what you're doing, like by making you write clearer, then obviously it's fine. Fourth one is maybe it's only a problem when you're over an Isser, right? And this is what Chaim said before, we saw in the Baralacha, right? You violate Simchas Yom Tov. Five is it a mitzvah b'etzem or not? Or actually, that's six, but it's basically the same as five, right? Are you Yotze Akiyum Derech Eretz or something? Seven is, right, is the flip side. It's a good chumrah if it will keep you away from Isser, right? Again, same thing. If it's meaningful, but it could be meaningful l'tov or meaningful l'ra. Eight is, again, if it's a technical p'tur, it's fine. Nine is all mitzvahs me'al machavero are intrinsically meaningful, so then it might be fine. 10, which I didn't get to, but the Mordechai says that maybe someone who's always hergal b'prishos is allowed to be machmir and the rule doesn't apply to him. 11... right, this is again to solve the URA problem. Is only chumras are only good if you do it in private, but that's more relating to the URA issue. 12 is the Meiri, right? That if it's Musar, Seichel, whatever, then it's fine. And 13 is that there's a machlokes, whether you're allowed to be machmir when there's a machlokes at poskim. Great. To summarize quickly what we saw so far, right? The basic direction is chumrah is valuable if what you're doing is meaningful, either because it keeps you away from Isser, or it is fulfilling a Torah value because the Torah is minimalist and didn't expect you to go all the way, like all of mitzvahs ben l'chavero. Or if there's just a technical reason why you're pater, but really it's you are allowed to do the mitzvah. It's not valuable, either where it's totally meaningless, or there's a cost. Right? If there's a cost, whether it be Yura, whether that be Motzi Laz al Rishonim, whether that be that it corrupts the halachic system because people will think that's how we poskin, right? Then it's going to be negative. Right? And the poskim, as you saw, basically fall along this structure, right? Which is some poskim focus on what would it mean for a chumrah to be meaningful, and other poskim say what type of thing would undermine the value of a chumrah and point the negative, right? I gave you these sources, you can reread through them, but you'll see it. Basically all poskim are doing one of those two things. They're either explaining what good type of thing will push you towards a chumrah, or what bad type of thing will stop you. Rav Amital really added a general concern, which is if you're machmir all the time, it paralyzes you, which is a more klali thing to think about. Right? It's not that this chumrah is bad, but the tchusha of being machmir all the time could be bad. The last thing I want to note, and I won't be able to read inside, is that one of the biggest problems of chumrah that we didn't talk about yet is that it causes you to have a split in the community. I mentioned that very, very quickly there. Agav, for that reason, the Ramah, and this is continued lahalacha, suggests under certain circumstances, even if you're machmir, you should only be machmir when someone else is not involved. Right, his example is if you want to be machmir on Pas Yisrael, you shouldn't be machmir on Kalim of Pas Yisrael by other people. Right? So, now, this obviously that's not always going to apply, and the Shach notes that at the end, right, that this only applies in certain cases where it's only a chumrah and not, I think it's us or you don't. right? So obviously we'd have to flesh that a little bit more, right? But kichol hayachol, if you're going to be machmir, you should also avoid the problem of splitting with other people. So if it's only a chumrah, right, a chumrah, right, like I'm going beyond the letter of the law, then there's room to be mekel when other people are involved. Obviously, there are other types of chumras, as we saw, where I think it's mekra din, other people may not, and if it's legitimate for me to be machmir that way, you know, with all the problems of la'az and v'chadome, so then in those circumstances, obviously, I couldn't just be mekel because I actually think it's usher. So that's just the last thing to keep in mind. Right, like I said, you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg. You can look back at our Shiram on Yura last year, on Luktis Godedu. You can look at the summary on the Olamot website for some of the more details of some of these shitos. But I hope that gives just a basic idea of what types of chumras are good, when they're bad, and the like. Okay.